0.6% chance we're going to get it anything other than the first one.
There's a 0.6% chance tonight that we're going to get to Skynetter and Liberty Tech today. That's a chance. Dude, it's a chance. Right. If you guys are sticking around for the... Go ahead.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yes, may the odds be... And you know, it's very fitting that you quote from that movie today because...
That's right.
Kind of what we're seeing is kind of moving it, except, you know, the when they gather to select the people and everybody's nervous about being selected. Now, this generation, when they gather, they're like clamoring to be one of the ones picked.
Right. And they want to be the tribute.
Yeah, they want to be the tribute now. They really want to be the tribute. And if you think that it's wrong for them to want to be the tribute, then you hate children. Then basically you want children to die, even though that's what happens with the tribute. You know, how many people did they select? 11? What was it? How many districts were there?
12 districts, man.
Well, so 12 men enter, 12 men and women enter. I don't know. Did they advance enough in their culture to have 12 men, women, and whatevers and all the others?
Have you never watched The Hunger Games? Is this what I'm
being sarcastic?
Am I
was being sarcastic. Okay. I know that they didn't. I know it was always male and female and man and woman in the show, but I was being, dude, you could have played with it. We could have ran with it. We could have spent the whole show talking about that and giving everybody distraction from all the fear porn out there. Instead, we're going to give them one giant fear porn pill tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, be prepared. Sit back.
Get a glass of water.
Right. If you could just lubricate your throat just to let that big fat fear porn pill slide on down, because we're going to give it to you. We got a really nice fear porn show to deliver to you tonight. I hope this is the last one we do like this in a while, because I really do like talking about other things. But here we are again. I'm going to go ahead and play the bump. I'm going to play the bump for the first segment of the show and imagine that means that I'm going to play the other bumps eventually. The Skynetter bump and the Liberty Tech bump. Let's pretend. Here we go. Are you ready? Dude, are you with me? Remember when we're doing the show? Remember me?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the bump.
All right, here comes the bump.
What are the big stories, the big headlines everyone else is focused on? And what, if anything, can we, who pursue the power to act without threat or action of physical force, learn from these stories? This is Newsfire, where we set your news on fire.
So if you heard the little slogan there at the end, it says, "This is Newsfire, where we set your news on fire." Again, we have another story. It's kind of a continuation of the last couple of weeks, actually, where the story kind of sets itself on fire. It's a big old dumpster fire that we're reporting on here. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Why don't you open up, if you'd like, open up with... What have you been thinking about as you know you've been moving towards the moment where you're going to be on the show and you were going to talk about National Cattle Car Rally Day 2018?
Right.
Cattle Car Guide Rally Day. Sorry.
So I've been watching this, sort of watching this unfold from afar because it's inescapable. I mean, you open up Facebook. This morning, I wasn't like, my calendar is not marked or anything. I wasn't prepared for pining for this moment to occur. But like I said, it's inescapable. I woke up this morning before work and I flipped open my phone. Flipped open. How do you like
flipped
that?
Open. I'm showing my age. That's so
I'm showing my age. I flipped open my phone. I flipped open my iPhone and I went to Facebook, you know, just to check, see what's going on. Usually the first things I do in the morning, I check the weather. I actually yell out to the living room to Google and I check the weather like that way. I contact my NSA agent that's in my living room.
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
Right. And I say, "Hey Google, what's the weather?" And, the second thing I do is I check. Right. You have to.
We welcome our robot NSA overlords, just for the record. Right. But
Right.
Go ahead with your old man.
I'm on the first for the list of robot insurance because robots are strong and they're made of metal. Right.
You've introduced the world to your old man mom,
my routine.
So go ahead and continue.
Right. So I look through I opened Facebook and I look through Facebook and this morning it was inescapable. Like the first 35 posts were all these little Benito Mussolinis all marching out of school to give up their rights and take yours. I mean, I don't have any problem. Well,
there were
if you
some Benitas thrown in there. There were some Benitas too.
Right. Well, I guess. Yeah, we could say that. We can. I guess. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, there were some Benitas. It wasn't all Benitos, and it was whatever.
Okay. Well, Benitas. You know what I mean. Little Mussolinis, little Eichmanns.
Yeah.
You know. So I see all these kids and everything, and I'm like, oh my god! So the entire news cycle is going to be inundated with these little kids out marching, carrying on. And look, here's the thing that I'll say first off. Okay, I do believe in the concept of natural rights, okay? I understand that the Bill of Rights itself, the Constitution, is a parchment paper, and it's a parchment barrier. It doesn't offer any physical protection.
I got to call you out on this. I can't let this just slide by. This is a tough show. We need all the comedy we can get. Parchment paper. Like, not parchment, but parchment paper. That's like, is that like double parchment or... What,
it's like a pen pen.
Well, anyway. So you saw a bunch of memes today.
So I see, you know, you made me forget what I was even saying.
All right. That's good. Natural rights and parchment paper.
Okay, so these little Mussolinis, the little Eichmanns, they're all out there. They want to give up their rights. They want to take away your rights. What I'll say is this, is that I fundamentally disagree with them on everything that they are trying to accomplish as far as gun control is concerned. I think this is absolutely absolutely absurd. I believe that they're being used as useful tools. I would say that more than – I'll even go as far as to say that 90% of these kids, number one – probably couldn't name another amendment in the Bill of Rights other than the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. I would almost guarantee these little Tide Pod eaters are completely clueless. They have no idea. Another thing I'll say is that I could almost guarantee, with that said, that they don't know anything else other than the First and Second Amendment. That most of them were there because they were given a choice to stay in class or get a free cut from class. So you can participate in this march and you don't have to go to class. Your choice is go march and go out, you know, do this walkout or algebra.
Well, it's more than that. It's do this march or whatever. They didn't all do the same thing, but whatever it is that they did, the 17 minutes of please take our guns and take everybody else's guns march, it was stand for the children, stand against children being killed in schools, or stay in school and do your algebra and not stand for the children.
Right. Now, like I said, I fundamentally disagree with their perspective on this for a multitude of reasons. One of which being that this perceived boogeyman isn't very much of a boogeyman at all when you take it into consideration. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning or attacked by a shark at the beach than you do from getting killed by a gunman in school. But that's neither here nor there.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I support their right to voice their opinion, even though their opinion is ill-informed and stupid. What I don't like about this is I feel like these young people are being used by unscrupulous forces to push an agenda that they're not necessarily aware of or fully informed on. They've been led to believe something that's not true.
Right. That there's this epidemic of school shootings and violence, and our children are fundamentally unsafe, and we've got to do something about it. And the something that they got to do about it is stop people from, right. from getting guns.
And you know, one of the things, Paul, I don't know if you had, I shouldn't even say, I don't know if you've seen it, because I know you haven't. I know you're not a big fan of Glenn Beck, and probably most of the people here on the Liberty Principle.
I am not a great fan of Glenn Beck. That is correct.
Beck fans, we're probably not big Beck fans over here on the Liberty Principle.
On the Liberty Principle Facebook page, right.
Right. So, but with that said, Beck had a video that he put out today that was, it was fantastic. He went through and, do you remember when he was on Fox, he had the chalkboard and he would do all these things like, this guy's connected to this guy and it's how it gets back to that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he did, he kind of did that, what minus the chalkboard today. And he went and showed how all of these radical communists that were involved in that woman's march are also tied to this student walkout, and how it ties back to several very unscrupulous characters, and including Louis Farrakhan, that were involved in organizing all of this. A very, very interesting video that he had.
Now, there's not a lot of really good people that are behind the women's march organizers. It's I'm just going to say it's a dark place. One of their main partners that they list in their website. You know what? I'm going to go to their freaking website.
Are you going to say it's that lady that was the chair for the Communist Party USA or something in like the 60s?
I don't know about that. Let me just go to their website here. And you have enough national. Okay, now remember the Women's March Youth Empowerment. This is, I mean, this is organized by the Women's March organization. Okay, so let me go to the website area here. You can see now. You guys could see we're on the website here. Power to the polls. So there you go. You know, you're going to galvanize people to vote. This is a highly partisan organization. They're calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump in many of their marches. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to defend.
Well, and just go back. But can you go back one on that screen to their little emblem there with the three heads? With the nice, wonderful three heads I just saw.
Where's this?
Right there, power to the tools. It's on. We're on a little bit of a delay, so when it comes back up on the screen, just take notice of it. What
the three heads?
What does it look like? Yeah, what is it?
The power to the polls like? Thing. I'm gonna click on the three heads here.
What is it? What is? What are, the, what are those?
The polls. Let's see. I'm gonna click on power to the polls here. There it is. Power to the polls. There you see the three heads, and there you go. Women's March presents power to the polls. Register to vote. We are the leaders we've been waiting for. Yeah. Now I'm gonna try and find this. Where the heck?
Hey, is that W a copyright infringement there? They got like the Volkswagen W there in that power.
Oh, I don't know. Oh no. Oh no. Together we arise. The oral history. And there's enough national school walkout. So there's the walkout head count. So what they've basically done here is they've gone to public schools. These are government schools. These are schools that are funded with taxpayer dollars. And unless you decide to live in the woods or do other things which are risky, almost all of us, whether we want to be a taxpayer or not, is. And it doesn't matter whether you're sending a kid to a school, you're a taxpayer. So they're using this school. They've gone to all of these public schools and they've approached all these different public schools, and something like 3,000 schools agreed to let them into their schools, let the Women's March organizers into their schools to help kids spontaneously organize a march that the Women's March was organizing. So you have a situation where you have because of the government school and the kids all being in that one concentrated place, it's like shooting fish out of a barrel. They're just there, easy pickings. And not only that, you're going to stage a political rally, and you're going to be staging something in which you are utilizing a public facility to give your political movement credibility, legitimacy, and a bigger voice. You are absolutely using the public school platform to enhance, it's like a bullhorn that it's making your voice all the more louder. And don't kid yourself, folks. Yeah, the Women's March. Let me find something here. I'll show you.
The organizers. Wait a minute. Wait. The organizers of that march attended an event that was I shouldn't say sponsored by. It was a Louis Farrakhan event. Did that not bother anyone at all? That, you know, Louis Farrakhan. Come on, Jews are my enemy. Louis Farrakhan. Nobody cares about this.
It's. Of course, it's, yeah, you're associating you public schools, you're associating with an organization that associates with an anti-Semite. That's Farrakhan. That's what our public schools decided to do. And here's a picture there, if you could see that there, from this is from a march in
blurry.
In Pennsylvania.
Oh, there you go.
You
it's focused.
It there now?
There it goes. Yeah, it's focused.
So basically, that is a kid. She's walking. And I was told, and many people are told, no, this is just a protest. It's not a protest. It's, you know, they're commemorating, you know, the 17 children killed in Parkland. There are numerous protests where you see these. They're carrying signs that are demanding the government enact gun control. This is a political rally, folks. That's exactly what it is. And yeah, I'm a little bit ticked about that. I'm, you know, significantly ticked about that. And I don't know that I have any, I don't know that I have any legal recourse, even though, you know, if you're going to follow the letter of the law, I believe that using public school as a political platform should be viewed skeptically at the very least. I actually interacted with a lot of these high school kids today on Twitter. And I have to say, some of them
were quite
reasonable.
How many Tide Pods did you eat beforehand?
No. Some of them were quite reasonable. I had some decent conversations. But there was a significant portion. I won't even say a majority. I'll say maybe 20% or so. They had this air about them. And I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it from the one Jerkwater, whatever, that little, one of the little Parkland trolls.
Gestapo?
Mr. Skinny Arms.
Okay, no.
Not Mr. Gestapo. Skinny Arms. This other kid. There's a clip with him, and he's on Bill Maher's show. And he says at some point, he says, listen, all you generations that came before us, you screwed everything up. And we're going to fix it. We accept your apology, and you can thank us for fixing your mess. So there's this air about a significant number of these kids. And they didn't just get this out of the blue. They're getting fed this, and they're getting fed this by the communist, Marxist, socialist, whatever asshats that are behind the Women's March. They're getting this stuff fed to them that they're the superior race. The youth is the superior race. This is age supremacism that you're seeing. These are a bunch of age supremacists that are going out there, and they're basically saying, forget history, forget the past, none of that matters. Y'all didn't do nothing. We are the future. We're going to tell you now. It's our turn. They imagine that it's now their turn at the age of 18, little scrub noses. They imagine that it's their turn to step out into the world and take it over and demand of us that we live life the way they say we should, because they're smarter than us. They're age supremacists is what they are. And again, I'm not even talking about the majority. I'm just talking about a significant minority. And I strongly suspect, although I don't know this, I strongly suspect that significant minority are most likely the most active, the ones most involved. I'm willing to bet that these kids are getting training by these Women's March organizers, that the schools let in, the school superintendents decided to let these denizens of tyranny into our schools to spread their toxic, I don't know what you want to call it. Toxic. I was going to say cancer, but no, it's not cancer. Is there bile that has bile that's like crap? Does bile poop? If bile poops, then that's what it is. They are the poop of bile, dark poop of bile. And they let them in. And they're training them. And they're training them with a message, which is, it's an age supremacist message. You know, you old people, you need to just die. Your time is up. You know, so, I'm 50 fucking years old. My fucking time isn't up, asshats. So fuck you. What?
So
I blew that
show. So
there goes my YouTube monetization for this show.
Thanks a lot, Little Eichmann.
Thanks, Russia.
Right. Thanks, Benito. Yes. Thanks a lot for that.
So much for that, man.
Well, the absurdity now is starting to swell to such an absolutely incredible, incredible level. I was this afternoon perusing the Coalition of New Jersey Firearm Owners Facebook page, and I happened across this report that they are they're gathering more information on this right now. I actually tagged you in this, Paul. This is two students from Lacey Township High School allegedly were given 5 days in school suspension because they posted pictures of themselves on Facebook with or near guns. These are kids that were at a shooting range with their parents.
Yes.
They were at a shooting range with their parents. And so they posted these pictures on social media that contained firearms with a caption that said, "Fun day at the range." They were suspended.
Here's the connection we're talking about. The Women's March co-president. This is the group that your public schools allowed to go into your schools and speak to your kids. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus and Women's March co-president Tamika De Malloroy have come under fire this month for failing to condemn Louis Farrakhan after revelations that they met with or appeared at events, not an event, at events, at numerous events, with the notorious anti-Semite. This is who you let into your schools. You let an anti-Semitic organization into your school. Because, I mean, that's the game that you play, right? Your guilt by association. I don't necessarily like the guilt by association game, but you know, you should play, you know,
right,
should
but, play by your right, own but rules. In the meantime, while you're pointing at Republicans, Colin, that guy's a Nazi. He's a Nazi. You're associating with this. This is too absurd. This is right. Too absurd, man. Too absurd.
Oh, here we go. Partners and sponsors. Who are their partners? Whoa, look at that. Look who their freaking partners and sponsors are. Look who one of their big partners is right there. You see that right there? That's Planned Parenthood, folks. That is one of their major sponsors. Look at their, let's see, who are their partners? You got SEIU. It's employees union. I'm not necessarily against employees unions per se. I won't say anything more about SEO right now until I can learn a little bit more. You got gender action, gender at work, gathering for peace, AFL-CIO. I mean, this reads to me like a who's who of all of the, not all, but, and I'm not sure all these groups fit into that category, but many of these, these are far left groups. This is a highly partisan organization. This is not a nonpartisan, non-political organization.
These are far leftists, man. These are far leftists.
And when this I say far left, I mean within the state of state face parameters of how they use
right,
those
well, and we're not even talking about you know, Joe down the road who's a registered Democrat. We're not talking about those kind of leftists. We're talking about far leftists. We're talking about like closet communist leftists. We're talking about absolute freaking lunatic leftists. That's who these people are.
Oh,
unreal.
Larry comments here. He says the march organizers thank Paul for funding the schools to give them the platform to take his guns. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that this is going to result in people showing up to take my guns. It's just that's the attempt. that's what these folks want. Now, the kids don't understand, probably. I'm not saying all of them. I would judge them individually. If I meet a kid, I'm going to assess that kid individually. But I think it's safe to say that most of the kids don't understand that dreams of gun confiscation are just that. They're not going to be able to do that on a large scale. They can do what's being done right now in California and Washington State, where they are selectively confiscating guns from people, and nobody in those states are really coming to the aid of the people who are having their guns. But that's another story altogether. So I wanted to shift gears for a moment. I wanted to have, because right now what we've delivered you so far is kind of the red meat. Kind of like most of the people watching this, you guys understand this, but everything that we're doing right here, right now, which I don't have a problem with in the context that we started doing it, are we winning hearts and minds at all with this message? The message that we have so far, are we winning hearts and minds that can be won, such as Clint can be won? I'm not saying, I don't know how many could actually be won, but is this the message that will win hearts and minds?
You mean their march?
No, what you and I are doing. We're like letting them have it. We're calling them out. I agree with everything I said. I've not said anything I don't believe in. But you know, if we walk up to these folks and we tell them, for instance, you know, you're part of the, you know, the women's march. This is, now don't get me wrong. If I go before a superintendent, no, I want to let that superintendent know what a piece of garbage that person truly is, because that person is literally using money that was gotten to me, I'll just say, against my will. Not completely against my will. I made a choice. The choice was I was not going to risk the threat of force involved in turning them down. So they got my money through threat of force, and they took that money, at least in part, and he decided to open up his school to this organization that is fundamentally oppositional to everything I stand for.
Well, wait, hang on. There's a whole bunch here that we didn't cover yet. We didn't talk about a whole bunch of stuff here. Like we only touched on some of the people that were on this that were their organizers. Linda Sarsour.
What do you got for me?
Linda Sarsour, board member.
Oh, gosh. Linda Sarsour, right. Whatever.
Right.
The woman who claims to be a Muslim. Well, I guess she's Muslim, but not necessarily representing Islam in the best light, I'll just say. Her.
Yeah, there's like, you got, you have to look and just go and
where
see
are we
who
at?
These.
Where are we at? Tell me where we're at.
You're right back on that page, that about and national team.
Our mission, national team. Where's, oh, there's the national team. Oh, there's more here than just these two. Okay. So we got Carmen Perez. Let's see. I don't know anything about her. Executive director of the Gathering for Justice. I don't know anything about her. Oh, there's Linda Sarsour. Oh, great. She's a board member, so there you go. That's who we're allowing into our schools. I don't know these other folks. Brianna Butler, international team. Mirinali Chakrabuti had a field up. I don't know these. If I see some, you know any of these folks? I don't know anything. I know Linda Sasor. That's it so far. I don't know any of these other folks. I don't know much. I don't know what to say about these folks because I don't know much about them. But
according to the
all, you know, like your March to Justice. I mean,
right. So according to Daily Mail, women who marched in that march had unwittingly handed their personal data to the Communist Party.
Oh, really?
Yes. Where are you? That's the Daily Mail.
Okay. Okay. I don't. The Daily Mail is like. Eh.
Yeah, they're on the fence.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that I would like stand up convicted and say it was in the Daily Mail.
I saw it in the Inquirer.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's quite as bad as the Inquirer or not, but it's like kind of swimming in that level. And Larry said, "Slap me for saying so, but Jeff is making sense tonight." Wow.
Oh,
well,
man.
Well, that was from Larry.
I'm doing something wrong. if Larry is telling me I'm making sense, I'm doing something wrong. Something's wrong.
Oh, that's because you
must be all the paint fumes.
Well, yeah, I guess it. Yes, now you know how Larry thinks the way he thinks.
Right, right.
He huffs paint.
Stand over a bucket of polyurethane. Yes. Just breathe it deep.
Larry is he's a brilliant businessman, and he's a wonderful tactician. And just before he's about ready to get on Facebook and do what he does, he's like, "Oh, I got to huff paint. Get that in me. Get that in me." Larry, you know it's true. But yeah, the question I'm asking is, okay, I'm kind of reacting viscerally and to a certain. I had an interesting experience today, and I began my experience lobbing my, the cattle car guide epithets. I didn't do that to the high school kids. I didn't really feel like doing that to high school kids. Although, I mean, I took them seriously. I wanted to hear what they had to say, but I just felt like, yeah, I'm gonna give them a little bit more patience than I would adults. And if a school superintendent or principal had tried to talk to me, I would have been a little bit different with them, because shame on them. They have a lot more experience and understanding to know that what they did was a fundamental violation of the trust of a significant number of parents in whatever school district decided to go through with this. But the high school kids, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do a thing wrong. I mean, I think they're wrong. I don't think that they have the full facts, but they didn't do anything wrong, man. All they're doing out there is protesting, and they've been told. The adults told them this is fine. There's nothing wrong with this. The adults told them they're special. They know more than everybody else. It's the adults who's fed this crap into their heads. The adults told them that they should fear for their lives because the NRA wants to kill them. And I believe many of these kids believe that. Not literally, but, you know, it's kind of like that. And so these kids, some of these kids are really fearful. And really interesting conversations.
Right, like I said, I don't necessarily blame. I don't blame them. And at the very least, I whether I agree or disagree with them, I'll support their right to voice their opinion, their right to gather, their right to assemble, their right to protest. I'll support that, you know. But their message is fundamentally flawed. They've been lied to, and worst of all, they are being used for a political agenda. They're being used by media and paraded around for an agenda, and that's disgusting.
It's, yeah, well, they're being used as human shields is the way that I would view it. But what I found myself in my conversation. Now, I got a range of responses from high school kids today, and basically high school kids were going after me because I was challenging the school superintendent. And basically I said that, and I shouldn't have worded it like this. Not because it's not true. It is true. But it's just, I shouldn't have worded it like this, only because it's just not effective communication. And what I said was, as a little tag, this is exactly how Hitler came into power. You are a simple, you, because of people like you. So, of course, what I got was, you're comparing him to Hitler. I never compared him to Hitler. I compared him to the people that allowed Hitler to rise. And my point is that when you surrender, you know, the old cliche, when you surrender your security for, or your liberty for security, you end up with neither. And that's what the German people did. They were insecure. Well, some of them, they actually had more reasons to actually have legitimate fear than we do right now. We're not facing anywhere near the hard times that the Germans were facing when Hitler was rising to power. But still, they had genuine fears. And because of those fears, they surrendered their liberty to Hitler for security. And in the end, they ended up with nothing. And I stand by that point, but was it an effective communication? Well, no, because right away I got, instead of having an opportunity to talk to high school kids in a constructive way, the immediate responses were largely, I mean, I got some vicious responses from kids. And it was like, you know, how dare you compare him to Hitler? And I kept, you know, I kept answering, nope, didn't compare him to Hitler. And you're probably, I got accused of being a child pornographer, rapist. I mean, of pretty horrible things. I got threats. A couple of kids said they were going to beat me up. And I'm, you know, I'm just trying to calmly respond to them and say, you do realize that you're actually reflecting the type of police state attitude that I'm warning about here. But, but I had like good conversations with some of them, even a couple of, I don't know if I've sway any of them, but maybe I got a couple of things. I don't know. But the conversations that I had with them was, yeah, I was trying to find out, well, why do you feel the way that you feel? And trying to, you know, I mean, the common theme was from the ones that would talk to me. Now, the other, there are plenty that it was just still all emotions, no matter what, they wouldn't actually try and talk to me. But I did get from them that they definitely are, I would say they have a genuine fear. They're scared. They're worried. And when I tell them that they don't really have a reason to be afraid, that they're safer now than ever I was when I was their age, that there is no violence epidemic, guns or otherwise, that school shootings are an incredibly rare event, I don't think that they really wanted to talk too much about that. They didn't want to face it. And Larry says, be very, very careful interacting with underage kids online. Yes, that's another thing. When you're interacting with kids that are online, it was a good thing. It put me in a position where I knew, you know, you don't want to just, you know, say mean things to kids online. So you have to be very
if you're gonna say mean things to kids, say it in person. That's the lesson I've learned from tonight's show.
That's not always, well,
if you want to say mean things to kids,
say in person, that
say it in person.
But still, you want to make sure that you're not saying anything that might sound like you're threatening a kid or, but it put me in this position to have to, and it was like, it made me think. It made me think about how I communicate, because the good conversations that I had were with a couple of them that actually would listen and had a good conversation back and forth. And a couple of them, none of them ended with, well, you see your point, you're right. But a few of them ended with, okay, well, we'll agree to disagree. I respect your opinion. I think you're wrong. I would say most of the conversations I had with kids, that's how they ended. Not that I mean, when I had, I don't know if how many spoke to, maybe 20 kids, something like that. It wasn't like a whole ton of kids. And there were just a few. There were actually just a few that fit into that, the one category I told you, which is, you know, where the race supremacist, I mean, not the age supremacist. There was a couple of them, you know, about 20% of them, you know. And there was a couple of them were just now. The kids that were threatening, I would just block them. I wasn't going to try to have a conversation with a kid because that wouldn't end well, probably for me. Even though they threatened me, it still wouldn't end well with me. So I was just not going down that road. But the conversation was really, really interesting, and it really made me think about my tactics. I think that there is a when we're talking in the aggregate, we're sending out a message, so to speak, a little bit of the in-your-face bellicosity is not bad. A little bit of the counter to the social shaming is not bad to folks that are trying to social shame you into a position that you don't want to be in. But I think that one-on-one conversations for me, I think that I'm going to be looking to maybe, I'm not going to try to understand them like, yeah, okay, well, I'm open to the idea that it's okay for the government to steal, take guns. I'm not open to that. But I'm open to understanding why they think that. And in understanding why they think that, then maybe I'll have some doors open to me where I can actually have conversations with them that might, and I don't just mean kids, I mean across the board. And then for the folks that they're still like, you try to have a conversation with them and they're still flaming out and shooting darts. And I'm not going to try to have conversations with those folks. So I'm thinking, and I'm interested to see what some of you guys think that are watching this. I'm thinking that my strategy is going to be more going forward. Yeah, I'm still going to have some punching kind of narratives that I'm going to put out there, but I'm really going to try and stay away from the polemics when I'm dealing with individuals one-on-one.
None of this, all of this is a dog and pony show. It doesn't even make any difference whatsoever anyway, in any way, shape, or form. What these people want is going to be next to impossible to accomplish. What they want is not something that's going to be even remotely feasible.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I won't say that it's not remotely feasible.
But it's not. It's not. I mean, listen,
gun
man,
confiscation is not remotely feasible. What is feasible, though, is that they'll pass legislation that bans certain guns, but they're not going to retroactively ban guns. Not at a national level, at least.
It's not going to happen.
But they're going to be looking for that, you know, incremental over the years. You know, the less and less people will buy guns. Well, I'm going to say what's going to happen is less and less people are going to buy guns legally. But one thing that Australia didn't have, for instance, well, first off, Australia didn't have two things. Australia didn't have a long, deep gun culture history. And two, it didn't have 3D printing. So it was a lot easier to kind of phase guns out in Australia and even in England than it would be here in America. That's it.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
Yeah. So here we are. And
45 minutes later.
For me, I'm not sure that I'm right. I believe that I am. Not 100% sure. But I've had a couple friends talk to me and they make some good points. They're talking about, you know, what happened after Sandy Hook, and you know there were these efforts. But this to me is a game changer. I'm not 100% sure it is, but I feel like it is. I feel like
here's the thing, man. Here's the thing, right? There is a concerted focus that's happening on this, in recent years than in years previous. And there is a reason for that. Then the reason for that is because the size and stature of the federal government and the scope of the federal government and the technologies that they have at their fingertips now give way to something that a large swath of authoritarian collectivists, shall we say, have been in pursuit of for eons. Now what they have, it is totally and unequivocally possible. Let's just say that the little Eichmanns are successful and they get everything they want. They get everything they want. Gun confiscation, guns are completely illegal, totally banned. They go door to door, kicking down doors. I saw these idiots on Twitter. You get these little idiot Tide Pod Eaters saying dumb shit like every NRA member should be dragged out in the street and shot so we could get their guns. And if they, let's just say, let's just say that they get their way. Okay. What follows after that are those individuals, those people that are, that belong to that group that have for millennia been, salivating over this thought of world conquest. You have in place now a mechanism that is so pervasive with the U.S. government, with the military technologies, the spying technologies, the capabilities of the NSA, the CIA. You look at the stuff that China's doing and you think to yourself, the U.S. government has been doing this stuff for decades before the Chinese even thought to do any of this stuff. And if the shackles were completely taken off altogether, it would be pure pandemonium. That right now, if those people were able to get into positions of power, which they already are in positions of power, it's just that they have restraints placed upon them that they can't quite shake loose, one of them being the myriad of firearms that are loose in this country, they would be able to do a lot of damage to the world if they were able to get a hold of that machine.
Yeah,
which is why I say that you're seeing this concerted, this focused effort to remove that obstacle.
Yeah, and I'll say, one of the big narratives going out there, which makes logical sense, but I'm going to give a counter to it. The narrative is that Donald Trump is literally worse than Hitler, but surrender your guns. And I'm going to tell you why that's not inconsistent. Because they firmly believe that in a very short period of time, they're going to have the power back. And they'll be the ones that benefit from the guns being taken. Yeah.
Are you? And they might not be wrong. Right, they might. I'm filling my vape with juice. With juice. Okay. It's a beautiful, wonderful, juice, baby. Wonderful aromatic blend of blueberries and apricot. It's delightful.
Oh, I love this story. Sean, one of my Facebook friends, Sean, sent this to me. It's from WARL.com. So this is a school in North Carolina. At 10 a.m. Wednesday, Justin Blackman got up from his desk and calmly walked out of Mr. Menendez's Spanish class. When he got outside, he discovered he was the only one of the approximately 700 students at Wilson Preparatory Academy in Wilson, North Carolina. 16-year-old Justin was in a company of one during the national school walkout. For 17 minutes, he said he stood by himself. He said he was disappointed. No one joined him. And now, right, the rest of the story. That's the rest of the story. So it's interesting. I've heard an anecdotal story where I don't want to relate sources here, but I've heard a couple of kids that were talking about some teachers kind of let it be known they supported it. Some teachers kind of let it know they didn't support it. So some of the, like, if you happen to be in the class during that period of time when it happened, and you were in a class where a teacher supported it, it was much more likely that much more kids would leave from that class. But if you were in a class where a teacher didn't support it, it was less likely that a student would have have joined. So,
right. And I wonder how many students. I wonder how many students would have joined if getting up and walking out of the classroom meant that you would get 5 days suspension or 2 days of detention.
I would,
and not a free pass to cut class.
I didn't appreciate the schools just signing up and being such a just an easy
political tool. They were political.
I don't think I wouldn't have supported them supporting and our you know, giving people detentions and suspensions for that.
One school
district locked the doors and wouldn't let the kids leave when they wanted to leave. I think that's
a little
bit draconian.
That's a little ridiculous. Not, but at the same time, are you telling me, Paul, that it would be okay then for me on, I don't know, you know, National Fried Bacon Day, since we're bacon bakers, National Fried Bacon Day, I got up from my desk at 10 o'clock and walked out to protest fried bacon. That'd be fine. That'd be okay. I should.
Sure. But, like, okay, if you're going to do it all the time and you start disrupting everything, okay, that's going to be a problem. So it's going to be, how often does this happen? If it starts happening all the time, yeah, that's going to be a problem. Of course, now the schools, all these public schools, you set a fucking precedent here. So you allowed this to happen, so you can darn well bet there's going to be a bunch of conservative groups that are going to say, okay, you let the Women's March do it. Got to fucking let us do it. So maybe every other week we'll have the kids going out and protesting another thing, depending on which group. You know, today they're for abortion. Tomorrow they're against abortion. You know, let our schools become the places where kids go to protest stuff. Just let that be what that is. That's kind of the road you're heading down here, folks. This is not an education. This is not an education. And you know, some of the kids were talking about how, you know, well, this is, you know, we're educating, you know, we're learning the democratic process. You know, I try to tell them this is not a democracy. They want to hear that. But
at 1 o'clock this afternoon, I posted on my Facebook, I want to organize a student walkout for gun rights for Friday, March 30th.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I'm serious about that. That is something that I would really like to do. I would like to organize a student walkout for gun rights for March 30th. I think possibly. I'm not a community organizer. I'm not a Louis Farrakhan. I'm not one of these guys. So I don't even know where to begin to do this, other than posting this crap on Facebook. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, you post this on Facebook, and you've got an audience of a few hundred, of which maybe three might
two.
Be open.
Let's see, I got three
message.
Shares. I got three shares, and two of them were me, sharing them to other pages that I'm an admin on. So we're off to a good start here.
Off to a good start.
I mean, where do you go with this? How do you get this to go from this idea that's in my boiler to real life? I mean, I want to see this. I want to give a contrast to what they're showing on the media. I want to see this. I want to see students all over the nation who actually support gun rights getting up and walking out of their class and saying,
yeah,
fuck
because
you.
They exist.
The Eichmann fucking Benito Mussolini motherfuckers.
And
since they already blew out the YouTube freaking monetization.
We're done. Oh, we're done with YouTube monetization. So one of the things that I got from talking to, again, not all of them, not even most of them, but just a higher number that was kind of disappointing to see. But you definitely, what you got from them was this idea that they believed that all of the youth were behind them. This is a youth movement, and all of the youth, their generation, they just had this idea that there's this monolithic youth generation that all believes that, hey, wouldn't it be smart if we lobbied for the government to take away our rights? Yeah, revolution now. Let's fight the man by empowering the man. Let's do it. We're rebels. We're the resistance, man. The police state.
Right.
We're revolutionaries, you know. And, I love this idea that they got new ideas, and I'm trying to tell them none of your ideas are new. None of this. Since civilization has existed, people in control of power have been managing the degree to which they want to allow people to have access to effective tools of self-defense. It's not a new thing, and the tactics are not new. The fear tactic that, you know, if we just let anybody have access to that type of sword, man, it'd be bad for people. We got to limit the type of people that can have that type of sword. You know, never mind the black codes. Never mind that history that we just recently did on Is Daily Monday, the secret racist history of gun control and the awful consequences. So none of our ideas are new. They're not interesting. They're not introducing any new concepts. The only thing that's new is the tactic of these organizations going into public schools where you have a ready-made audience of millions. And if you get a significant number of school districts that agree to let you into their schools, man, what a cheap, easy way. I mean, cheap and easy, man. How much money do you think the Women's March saved by going into the schools and having the schools essentially assist them in this organizing? They provided... They didn't have to apply for any type of licensing for protests. They did this free. There's no Women's March organizers that paid any money to these schools to pay a license to, you know, do the protests that you'd normally have to apply for and pay for if you were doing this in a public square. They saved millions of dollars. This was one huge mega political ad provided for free by the public school districts of America using your freaking tax dollars. Good job. I think I'm done, and we're just about out of time. Do you have anything else? Do you have a wonderful, wacky way to close this story out? Would you like to do the Liberty Tech story briefly, just to end on a little bit of a?
I don't. It doesn't. Nah. We could leave it on this note.
Okay.
I'll my closing remark is this. I think this is absolutely ridiculous. In the way that it's being presented, that this is grassroots when it was anything but grassroots. I mean, this is astroturfing 101. These big organizations with big names all came together to push a political agenda. They weaseled their way into school districts across the entire nation at the complacency, or not even complacency, at the exuberance of leftist administrators and administrations who were starstruck and awed by the big names that were involved because they idolize these goose-stepping leftists. And then the media is presenting it in such a light that as if this is a spontaneous grassroots movement, and it's anything but spontaneous and grassroots. I mean, this is nonsense that's organized by huge names in the left, in the far left, not even in the left, the far, far left. And you as a parent are supposed to sit back idly and be like, yeah, bravo, great job, kids. And in the meantime, you're basically this is the equivalent of the Hitler Youth. Is basically you now, when you send your children to school, just let it be known that you are letting your children join into the Hitler Youth so that they can be indoctrinated by the likes of people like Louis freaking Farrakhan. This is absolute. I don't even. I feel like having an Alex Jones. I'm gonna rip my shirt off here.
Oh, let's look at the enough demands. Let's just look. These are their demands. Ready? These are their demands. Okay, we demand that Congress and
fucking
they're using
18.
Your children.
Where the fuck do you get off on having demands, you little pud?
Right. We demand that Congress enact.
You don't even fucking shave.
Some of them do. We demand that Congress enact an immediate resolution declaring gun violence a public health crisis. That's a fucking lie. And dedicating federal funding to research solutions and implement violence intervention programs. We demand Congress recognize all forms of gun violence, including violence committed by police. But meanwhile, disarm the fucking citizens. Yeah, good fucking job. The priority policies we support. Banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. What the fuck do you mean by an assault weapon? You don't even fucking know. Expanding background checks to all gun sales. I don't know what that means. They already have background checks to all gun sales. I think unless you're, you know, like, if I sell my gun to a friend, you probably want to close that. You'd want that to be a background check. Passing gun violence restraining orders. Those gun violence restraining order laws. Those are basically somebody charges you with something and they take your gun before it's been proven that your gun should be taken from you. So they're, you know, throw out that whole due process shit. Stop militarizing law enforcement.
Fuck the Fifth Amendment.
Well, I kind of agree with that one.
Fuck the Fifth Amendment. We don't need that.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with them on the militarization thing. But meanwhile, you want to stop the militarization of law enforcement. You're acknowledging that law enforcement is a problem, and you want to disarm people. There's a fucking cognitive dissonance problem there, idiots. And when I say idiots, I'm not talking to the kids. I give the kids more patience. I mean,
they get a little bit 18, of leeway because they're eating Tide Pods.
I don't think most of them are Tide Pod eaters. There's a few, but I don't think most of them are. And then the priority policies we oppose: concealed carry, reciprocity, and any legislation that would aim to fortify our schools with more guns. Well, I agree with you there too. I don't like the idea of teachers having guns and putting armed guards in schools. It's this list. It's demand. That's not how this works. You're not the only people in this land. I don't think that you kind of, I mean, they're not being taught the democratic process. I'll use that term. They're not being taught the democratic process. They're being taught the thug process. We demand, we get. That's not how it works, dude. When you live in an ostensible republic that has an ostensible rule of law, it's all BS, but just to pretend it's real, that's not how any of this is supposed to work. It's a conversation, and then there are certain lines that, no, you just don't cross. Even no matter what your feels are, no matter how smart you think you are at the age of 18, there are just certain lines you don't cross.
Well, and you know, here's something else too, right? This whole list of demands, it ends with this line: gun violence is a complex issue and one that will be hard to eradicate completely. Well, yeah, well, good job, Junior. What do you do now once you've eradicated gun violence? It's not going to be like all of a sudden, you know, the last gun goes into the kiln and gets melted down, and all of a sudden everybody gets a unicorn and rainbows and lollipops are falling from the sky. Like, what the fuck do you think is going to happen after that? Yeah, like, do you think all of a sudden all violence is going to be gone? You're not going to get fucking stabbed in the neck next? I mean, is that what they think?
Go to London in the 1300s, you know, before people had guns. See what it was like there. Pretty violent.
Go now.
They're stabbing everybody. Apparently,
33 friggin' people got stabbed. I mean, what the hell is the difference if you get stabbed or get shot? What's the difference? Either way, you're probably going to be freaking dead. This is nonsensical.
Yeah, I don't. We extended this a little bit more than I thought we would, but okay. So, I don't know. I think we'll end it here. And I will end it with this. I will, and then if you have something to say afterwards, go ahead. I will end it with this. I'm upset. I'm absolutely upset today, and I'm emotionally connected to this because this is happening in the schools right in the area that I live, and I have a daughter that goes to one of these schools that took part in this garbage. So, yeah, I'm emotionally invested in this, and I'm personally outraged. But when I look past the outrage in the scheme of things, I kind of believe that tyranny is going to win short term. The flow towards wanting more control and people wanting the government to take more control of their lives because of their uncertainty and fear, it's pretty strong. And I think it's really hard to cut against. But as this has happened, or as this is happening, there's many new technologies that are rapidly developing that no matter what gun laws they pass, for instance, the folks that don't give a crap about your laws, yeah, they're going to keep printing guns. They're going to be, and you know, somebody said, oh, well, they got 3D printed guns, but they're not really that effective. Oh, you know, 2 years ago, maybe that was true. But 3D printed guns are much, much more effective now than they ever were. So you got cryptocurrencies coming online. You have mesh networks that are coming online. The balance of power is tilting towards individuals and free associations in pretty dramatic ways. Whatever gains these fools and idiots have right now, that they're going to use the mechanism of the coercive enterprise to try to inflict on the rest of us, they're going to be short-lived gains because the technology is quickly emerging, technologies that they're not going to be able to contain, that is going to allow more and more people to simply choose to ignore them and walk away. Anything for you, Niz, before we shut this down?
I'm glad I live in Texas.
Okay.
That's all I can say. I live in Texas. I drove today. We were out driving around for work and drove past several schools. And you want to know how many kids were outside protesting?
I don't know.
None. Not one.
Wow. Well, that's it. but on the flip side of that, not to bring you down, but if they had something where kids were going out to protest somebody burning a flag.
Oh, yeah, there'd be lots of them.
That wouldn't be good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of blue line stickers in that school parking lot, let me tell you.
Yeah, so there's yeah, every each side has their own poison pills that are difficult to swallow.
Right.
So tomorrow, I'm not sure what the show is going to be tomorrow night. I don't even know if I'm going to have a show tomorrow night. Not sure that Lou will be able to make it. And I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow night. But I do know one thing. Headlines you may have missed will be on tomorrow on my Facebook page, Paul Gordon. And you're looking for the guy with the AR-15. And just remember that the AR-15 is long gone, lost. Lost to the Great Lakes in a boating accident. And so that picture is just a sweet reminder of what once was between me and by the way, the name of that gun is Disorder. Disorder's no longer with us, but he was a good guy. He did good by me. And with that note, I'll say thank you everyone who joined us, especially for the folks that commented, even the worst human being on the face of the planet, which is, of course, Larry Cousins. thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a great rest of the day. And remember, I mean, if we're going to have days like this, we who love liberty, we who love we side with individuals and free associations over coercive enterprises. We're going to have days like this. It's going to be tough. But the odds are in our favor. May the odds be ever in your favor. They actually are. Midterm especially, the odds are in our favor. Good night, everybody.